Today's reading comes from chapter Exodus, or the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Moses at the burning bush. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain."
Thank you, Shelley. May the Lord have blessing to the reading of the Holy Word on this day. Today we're going to talk about wrestling with God, and I don't think the title of the sermon is Mo Excuses, because Mo is short for, well, you know, Curly, Larry, and Mo, but Mo is short for Moses, and Moses had a lot of excuses. But I want to remind you this morning that God wants to wrestle with you. He wants to hear from you and from me, and wrestling with God can reveal our heavenly calling. You ever wonder, why am I here on earth? What is it that God wants me to do? Wrestling with God can reveal that if you pay attention. I'm just going to go over the scriptures a little bit this morning and even a little bit further in the talk that Moses had with the Lord. Now we are in Exodus chapter 3. And in verse 11, Moses says, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh?" And we read that. Who am I to go to Pharaoh? He's looking for a way out. He's wondering why God picked him. And God's answer is, "Don't worry, I will go with you." Now, maybe that's something that God is saying to you. You know, "I don't know if I should do this." And God says, "Well, I will go with you." If God calls you to do something, he will be with you. And then a second time, in two verses later, in verse 13, Moses says, "But who will I say is sending me to them to give them this message?" And God says, "Moses, tell them that I am the Lord their God. My name is Yahweh. I am who I am." And this goes on for a little longer, and in chapter 4, Moses says, okay, it says, "But they might not believe me." This is three buts so far, right? Moses is not playing along with God's game. "But they may not believe me." Out of frustration, God says, "Okay, Moses, you're carrying a staff. Throw it on the ground right now." I can imagine God saying, "I've had enough. I've had enough of your bad attitude, your lack of faith." He says, "Throw your staff on the ground." As soon as he did, it became a what? It became a serpent. And then he says, "Now, Moses, reach for the tail of that serpent and pick it up." And it became a staff once again. He said, "And I know that you need a lot, so I'm going to give you one more thing." He says, "Put your hand inside your cloak and now bring it out." And his hand was completely withered. He says, "Now put it back in and bring it back out." And it was completely restored. And he said, "These should satisfy your concerns. And you tell them that the Lord sent you. And if they ask for a sign, you can show them this sign." That's three buts. Here comes number four. In chapter 4, verses 10 to 12, Moses says, "But I have never been eloquent. I'm not a good speaker." And most theologians, most Bible scholars take this to mean that he probably was a stutterer. "I've never been able to speak well." And God, in his anger, says, "Listen, Moses, who gives speech to mortals anyway? Who makes them mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Isn't it I, the Lord, who creates people in this way? Now go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you are to speak." So in other words, God is kind of offering a healing here, it seems to me. And Moses, now that he's exhausted all of his buts, Moses simply says, "Lord, please send someone else." And we don't often focus on this, but I'm going to focus on the anger of the Lord. In verse 14, "Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, 'What of your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know at least that he can speak well, and he's coming now, and maybe when he sees you, his heart will be glad. This is what I'm going to have you do. Speak to him the words that I give you, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. He indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as the mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Now, Moses, before you leave, take this staff in your hand, with which you shall perform the signs." And that's not the end of God's anger. Now, we think of Moses as a great man, and he is. He's considered the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. He is responsible for the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's why we call them the Pentateuch, because there are five books, but we also call them the Book of Moses. And so he did a great thing, but he wasn't perfect. I want to just share this with you. God's anger continued with Moses because he was untrusting and did not have faith that God said he would do what he would do. When God calls him to do something, he doubted that God would help him and see him through. In verse 24 of chapter 4, we read this. On the way to Egypt, now he's doing what God had called him to do. So he's going back down to Egypt. At a place where they spent the night, the Lord met Moses and tried to kill him. He'd had enough. He'd had enough. But Moses' wife, like many good wives, often saves us from ourselves. And she recognized that maybe there was something could be done, and so she performed a religious sacrament and took the blood and put it on Moses' feet and said, "Now you are a bridegroom of blood to me." And the Lord left without killing Moses. What I want to say to you this morning is this. We all know the end of the story, right? Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. He tells Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But God works with imperfect people. Moses missed five benefits, I think, that I came up with. He missed five benefits and one secret ingredient by not having faith, by not believing God. And the five benefits are this. He missed a blessing of possibly being healed, a blessing of working full on with the Lord in complete submission and letting God do the work. He missed out on that blessing. He missed out on a better relationship with the Lord because it was a contentious relationship, as you can see. He missed out on experience and power and skill. Don't you think hanging out with God gives you a little learning, a little bit of an education? Oh, when I do this, God does that. Oh, okay. In other words, what I'm saying is Moses could have started a GRAX, a God Relationship Adventure Experience. GRAX, a God Relationship Adventure Experience. And isn't that what it is every time we're with God? If we choose to take God at His word and test God and to enter into a relationship, that God relationship becomes an adventure experience. And we learn things that we could never learn on our own. Oh, and he could have received a secret ingredient as well. Moses' secret ingredient seems to be anger, if we look at the way he behaves in the scriptures. But the secret ingredient that he missed out on is joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and it gives us power. It gives us peace of mind and strength of mind to go forward. And so what I want to say to you this morning is this. Beware of the killer bees or the killer butts. Because as Moses found out, three or four butts can lead to one angry God. Don't make God angry with you. If He asks you to do something, to give something up or to do something, to have faith, be ready, brothers and sisters. And God wants to wrestle with you. Wrestling with God reveals your heavenly calling. It often does. Now I'm going to go over to the sermon notes section now that I've pontificated long enough on the opening. Before you fill in the sermon notes, go down to number 4. It says there, we don't have because we don't blank. I want you to write two things down. I want you to write two things down underneath that. Number 1, now this is personal, and you can write it in code or whatever you want to do. But what is something big in your life that you want God to do? What has been the biggest heartache or disappointment in your life? What is that one thing? Just write that down. And number 2, is that heartache or wound, is it still open, or is it in the process of healing, or has it been healed? Because I can tell you, brothers and sisters, God wants to heal it. But until we talk to Him and wrestle with Him and stop trying to do it all on our own, it's not going to happen. God is spirit. He heals our wounded spirits. He heals our emotions. Okay, let's go on. So number 1, as we're filling in the blanks, God uses imperfect people. Now, is anybody in here perfect? Would you stand, please? Okay, the baby. The baby. My goodness. You know, Charlie is so beautiful. She is. I mean, if you haven't had a chance to be charmed by Charlie, you need to visit Charlie. Oh, my goodness. She's just adorable. And anyway, so number 1, God uses imperfect people. Moses was probably a stutterer, and he probably wondered why God was asking him to be a speaker in front of people. And God says, well, duh, I can do anything. And Moses, I was planning on helping you out with that, but you have put up so many roadblocks. What am I going to do with you? There are no perfect saints. I know we have Mother Teresa and all the other saints, but none of them were perfect. There are no perfect people. Why? Because people who think they are perfect have no desire for God. They don't think they need God because, well, I'm perfect just the way I am. Now, this happens especially if there is I've noticed that if there is a person who has a great expertise in their small area of focus, They feel very, very prideful and like they don't need anything else. They don't need God, and God is just a fairy tale. But if you enter into a relationship with God and you start wrestling with God and giving Him the hard questions and say, God, okay, but people who are healed by God can't do enough for God. Can you imagine if that thing, number one there, that biggest heartache, that biggest thing in your life, that burden that you wish God would take, can you imagine if God did it today? People who are healed by God cannot do enough for God because they say, wow, He did it. He did it. Brothers and sisters, wrestling with God not only blesses you, but it may very well reveal your heavenly calling. Number two in the fill in the blanks. Moses missed receiving blessing and healing from God. Why? What was it he had that was too small? Faith. He missed the blessing and healing working with God. God said, come on, let's go. I'm in the driver's seat. You just come along. You just do what I tell you to do. And you're going to learn a lot. You're going to grow. And Moses said, I'm not getting in that car. Moses missed receiving blessings and healing from God. Why? Because he had very little faith. And if he would have gotten in, as we've already mentioned, he could have received that special ingredient, which I call joy. Because when things go great, when you experience the love of God and you the answers to prayer, it is just a joy. It is a wonderful thing. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And again, in Exodus 4:24, we read that God's anger was kindled against Moses and he tried to kill him on the way to Egypt. Zipporah, his wife, saved Moses from God. Now let me add, I'm going to give you one more thing, and maybe you didn't know this, I don't know, but it's in the Bible, so hopefully you know it. But do you know that Moses was not permitted to enter the Promised Land? He was blessed to be able to confront Pharaoh, and God did all of those miraculous things, all of those plagues, and he was able to lead them out, but he was not allowed to go into the Promised Land. Why? Because once again, his faith was too small. He didn't follow orders. He lacked faith. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 12, where God told him what to do for the water, and Moses went his own way, and he said, well, I think God needs help. I'm gonna give God a double dose of my help. And indeed, it did work, but God said, Moses, you've gone too far. They're going to go into the Promised Land, but they're going in without you. How can we translate to that to today? You can try and try and try to manipulate God, and you can say you have faith, but you've got a little faith. But we need to rely on God. We need to wrestle with God. Number three, did you know that you can change God's mind? Absolutely. I think back to Jacob who wrestled with God. And now this is interesting. Jacob wrestled with God. And do you know what the word Israel means? It means one who wrestles with God. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And because he wrestled with God, God said, because you have striven with God, because you have wrestled with me, and you have got what you wanted, and I have gotten what I wanted, now I'm going to bless you, Jacob. Your name will be called Israel. And your people will be blessed. Did you know that you can change God's mind by wrestling with God? You see, it goes right back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, God was the creator and he wanted somebody to be in charge of nature. He wanted somebody to take control. He wanted a vice president, so to speak, or a manager. And Adam and Eve said, nope. We're with a snake over here. We're just hanging out. We're not interested. If you wrestle with God, you can change God's mind. And let me. This is beautiful stuff. I have to say that God. It's all God. It's not me. So I don't have a problem saying that. But let me just say this: God's plan for you, and I've seen this over the last 30 years of ministry. God's plan for you is especially designed with you in mind. It may not seem obvious at first. It may start with a stepping stone to a final blessing. But this is what God. This is what I've seen God do in my own life and many, many times in other people's life. This is how it works. You are passionate about helping alcoholics because you were an alcoholic and God has helped you overcome. You get what I'm saying? What is it that God has helped you through? And now you can share that with others. How is it that God has helped you and now you can help others? Well, how is it that God has done amazingly above what you could ask or even think, and now you can share that with others? It may be alcoholics. It may be child abuse. It may be sexual addiction or pornography. It may be divorce. I've been on the brink of divorce. We were there. It's not pretty. It was a miracle that happened. It was a miracle, the people that God sent into Joyce's life and into my life while we were apart. And now, we get to share that. Well, we've got a niece that's looking at that right now. And Joyce was able to share with her this week. You know what? God can help you. And if you let Him, it'll be better than it ever was before. And that's the truth. And what a blessing to be able to help somebody do something to change their lives. You know what that is, brothers and sisters? That is being Jesus to other people. Because Jesus is in the business of healing and inspiring and loving. So what is it? Divorce. Maybe somebody's gone through cancer. Maybe somebody was an orphan. Maybe somebody's a victim of sexual assault or even prostitution. But aside from all of those hurtful things that they can have help with and that God wants to heal you from, God wants to do a healing work in your life. There are also things, that the gifts and joys that God gives you, like maybe maybe sports. Some men are very good and women are very good with sports ministries or music ministries or counseling. God wants to use you to heal the world in a way that you are uniquely designed for. Because you have found healing, and if you haven't found healing, that's why you need to wrestle with God. But when you find healing, and you have experienced God's healing touch and blessing, now it's your turn to be Jesus to somebody who is going through a difficult time. What's number one on your list? Where does the help need to go? Wrestle with God. Ask Him. Because wrestling with God can reveal your heavenly calling. Part of my calling is sharing how to save marriages and also music. I know you already knew that. But the words of this song, God gave them to me. I didn't even have time to type them in because as I was going over it, like by the 17th time, He said, write these down, so I did. I wasn't going to type the sheet again. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory. To tell the old story. Of what? Yeah. Number four. We don't have because we don't what? Ask. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Now, I've already asked you to write this down. The biggest heartache of your life, something you want God to work on, and whether it's an open wound or a healed wound. Ask Jesus for help with that number one evil heartache, because it is evil. There is sin in it somewhere. He wants to turn your evil heartache story into a story of how God helped you overcome evil with good. He overcame sadness with joy. He turns mourning into dancing. We all need the help of the Holy Spirit. And we can say that we love Jesus and all of that. But Jesus said to his disciples, he said, the most important thing you can ask for is the Holy Spirit. Jesus inside of us is the Holy Spirit inside of us. Jesus tells us we can be born again. And I've preached a couple of times on the 10-word prayer, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I call it the Jaiwu Tu Blomul because that's how it looks when you spell it out. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. But if you just concentrate on those words and recite those words and say, Jesus, be with me in those words and lead me to where you want me to be. Help me to accept the fullness of experiencing you, the Holy Spirit inside of me. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be a world changer for Jesus, if you want to feel amazing, if you want to have inner peace, if you want to do more than you could ever do on your own, don't be like Moses and try to help him out. Get out of the way and do what God asks you to do, which is to follow his word, to believe and to have faith. And this warning, of course, be very careful with your buts. But God, I can't speak. But God, I don't know. What am I going to say? But God, what am I going to do? But God, what if? Stop it. Will you stop it? Have faith. Be very careful with your buts and your excuses. Because I'm not perfect. I do not want you to miss any blessings. I don't want you to miss all that God has for you. I want to see each one of you, each one of us, in a position of helping people. And then people coming up and saying, wow, do you know that person in your congregation helped me so very much? Brothers and sisters, it's time for wrestling. It is always time for wrestling. Wrestling time is blessing time. And wrestling with God reveals, it can reveal, your heavenly calling. Let's go. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for your love to us. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you can do more than we can, abundantly more than we could ask or even think, the Apostle Paul says. So let us put aside our own puny ideas, our own puny dreams, and latch on to you and your vision and what you have. Lord, keep us humble in your sight, more humble than Moses, so that we may do great things for you and give you all the glory, and not ourselves. All God's people said, Amen.